Morning. Today's daf is daf Dalid in Shavuos. Okay. We're going to be in day three today in terms of really dealing with the very same issue that we dealt with in day one. From the very beginning of the Masechta, the Mishnah brings us a model, a framework of Shtayim Shein Arba, two, which is four. We have it by Shavuos, we have it by Tumah, we have it by Shabbos, and we have it by Nega. Okay, let's just quickly review the first Mishnah. The Mishnah Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba means that when it comes to Shavuos, there are two fundamental cases, which are, I'm going to make a Shavuos in the future, lahara uleitiv, either to do something good or to refrain from doing something, right? And then there are two subcategories, which is la'avar, which is for the past. So in the case of Shavuos, it would be, I either make a Shavuos, I will eat that bread or I will not eat that bread, or I make a Shavuos that I ate that bread or I did not eat that bread. Okay? That's Shavuos. The idea is a tuma. What's the example of that? Two, Shtayim Shein Arba, two, which is four. The primary cases in the Torah is that I knew I was Tameh, and I forgot that I was Tameh. I went into an unawareness, a lapse of unawareness, that I was Tameh. And I walked into the Beis HaMikdash while in that state of Tumah, or I ate Basar Kodesh while in that state of Tumah. Those are your primary cases. What are your secondary cases? What are your, the Tolada, so to say, the next level cases? So that would be where I knew I was Tameh, but I forgot this was the Beis HaMikdash. Or I knew I was Tameh, but I forgot that this was Basar Kodesh. Okay, that is Shtayim Shein Arba by Tumah, by Yedias HaTumah. Then Shtayim Shein Arba by Shabbos, what's that? That is, the two primary cases is Hotza'ah, taking something out of a house, either the poor person extracting it from the house, or the Balabayas pushing it out of the house, one of the two. Those are your two primary cases of Hotza'ah. What are the subcategories of Hotza'ah? The Hachnasa, right, going into the house. And same thing, either the Ani pushing something into the house, or the Balabais bringing it into the house. Fine. And finally, with the case, the last Shtayim Shein Arba, is the case of Nega, of Tzaras. There are two primary colors of Tzaras, Se'es and Baharas, and then the subcategories of Tzaras. Okay. That is the Mishnah, and then the Mishnah went on. But for us right now, all we need to do is focus on that part of the Mishnah. Who is the author of the Mishnah? So this question was raised yesterday, right, when we started with the Gemara and Daf Gimel, and the Gemara was confused because it can't be going like Rabbi Yishmael and it can't be going like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmael only holds that the Shavuah that you're going to be liable for, Shavuah for the future, he doesn't expound on Shavuah in the past. That's Rabbi Yishmael. Our Mishnah says you're going to be chai for both future and for past. So our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yishmael. If it's going like Rabbi Akiva, well, Rabbi Akiva, when it comes to Tumah, says only two cases of Tumah, not four cases of Tumah. So it can't be going like Rabbi Akiva. That's the question that we raised in terms of authorship. We dealt with this question through yesterday, and the Gemara has yet to resolve this question as to who the author of the Mishnah is. In doing so, the Gemara made a suggestion yesterday that maybe our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yishmael. But how could it be going like Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yishmael says that you're only going to be chayiv two of the four cases when it comes to Shavuah. You're only going to be chayiv on the future, not in the past. So the Gemara says, well, maybe according to Rabbi Yishmael, you're going to be chayiv on the future and the past when it comes to Malkus. Meaning, as far as a carbon olah v'yarud is concerned, you're right. Only lahara uleitiv, only for future. But for Malkus, for getting lashes, two, which is four, is going on future and in past. Okay. If that's the case, right, this is all just a review of yesterday, bringing us through till today. If that's the case, so then the Gemara says, so that would mean you're going to get Malkus for Allah She'en B'maisa. Meaning, let's take a look at our Mishnah. Let's think of the cases of our Mishnah. So I make a Shavuah that I'm not going to eat that loaf of bread, and then I eat it. Okay, that's a maisa, that's an action. But let's go the other way. Let's say I make a Shavuah that I'm going to eat that piece of bread, and let's give ourselves a time limit so we can talk about this case. Let's say I'm going to eat this loaf of bread by the end of today, and you don't. You don't eat the loaf of bread. So based on what we're saying now, our Mishnah is telling us you're going to get Malkus for not eating that loaf of bread, but you didn't do anything. It's an inaction. It's a lav shein bo maisa. So how can you get malchus for a lav shein bo maisa? So the Gemara says, well, it sounds like the Mishnah holds you get malchus for a lav shein bo maisa. That's what it sounds like. All right. Problem is, as we discussed yesterday, that Rav Yochanan always follows the Stam Mishnah. Rav Yochanan says that whenever Rebbe records a Stam Mishnah, anonymous Mishnah, the halacha follows like that Stam Mishnah. All right? And if that's the case, so then we're a little bit stuck. Because our Stam Mishnah says that you get malchus for a lav shein bo maisa. Again, that's built, that's constructed on the idea that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel, and the Mishnah is talking about malchus. Okay. But Rabbi Yochanan, we also know, elsewhere says, you don't get malchus for lav shein bo maisa. We just finished Masechta Malkos. We learned over there, Rabbi Yochanan feels very strongly, Paskins, that you don't get malchus on a lav shein bo maisa. So, there is a contradiction within Rabbi Yochanan. On one hand, Rabbi Yochanan says, I always follow the Stam Mishnah, and our Stam Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Shavuot, says, you get malchus for lav shein bo maisa. And meanwhile, Rabbi Yochanan himself says, you don't get malchus for lav shein bo maisa. All right. The Gemara yesterday entertained, well, maybe there's another Stam Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan found, and he hung his hat on that other Stam Mishnah. So yesterday we made one attempt to find that other Stam Mishnah. We were not successful yesterday, so we're going to pick it up in the Gemara now, on the last two lines of Gimel Amud Beis, and we're going to look for the other Stam Mishnah, L'hai Stam Ashkach. So it comes out from the following. Mishnah coming up in the third parak of Shavuos, where the Masechta Shavuos actually begins, right? As we had discussed already for 2 days, the first two parakim of Shavuos is not talking about Shavuos. It's talking about Yediyas HaTumah. But when we get to the third parak, one of the first Mishnahs we're going to be learning over there is Shavuos Shalo Achal Kikarzu, Shavuos Shalo Ochlena. I make a double Shavua. I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread. Okay? And then he repeats himself, I'm not going to eat it. So now, with a double oath, he says he's not going to eat this loaf of bread, v'achla. Okay, and as much as he tried to motivate himself not to eat the loaf of bread, but temptation got the best of him, and he ate it. Eino chayav ela achas. Zuhi shvuas bitui. Shechayav mazdona makos, v'al shigagaso, karban ola v'yareid. It says the Mishnah, you get one set of malchus. Now, really the Mishnah over there is really making a point that's not our issue right now. Right? That even though it's a double shavua, you're only going to get one set of malchus. Look at the top Rashi on the page over here. Rashi explains. This is based on a principle that we're going to be learning later on in the Masechta. First Rashi on the page, the Me'achish and Ishba Allah Shavua Rishona Ne'eseres Alav. Your first shvuah already made the loaf of bread prohibited to you. Your next shvuah is just to uphold your first shvuah. This is what's called nishba l'kayim es ha-mitzvah. V'tznan l'kaman, nishba l'kayim es ha-mitzvah, v'lo kiyem, patam yishvuah's karban. Okay, it's a technicality that you're not going to be liable for that second shvuah, because the second shvuah is only there to fortify and support the first shvuah. That's called nishba l'kayim es ha-mitzvah. Good, but nice. But that's not our main point right now. Our main focus over here is when the Mishnah says, Zuhi shvuas bitui, this is a shvuah, where you chayv makos. This is one. And what wouldn't be one? And the Gemara makes a very simple diuk. Zui dechayav mazdona makas ava ochel v'lo achal lo laki. It means that the Mishnah clearly selected this scenario, because if we went the other way, where his shvuah was, I will eat the loaf of bread, and he doesn't, he's not going to get malchus. Right? That's clearly what the Mishnah is implicating when it says, Zui, this is the case where you get malchus, because if I were to reverse the case, if the shvuah was, I eat the bread and I don't eat it, you're not going to get malchus. Nichti. Oh, I'm sorry, before we move on. So good. Period. And now we have a Stam Mishnah. And the Stam Mishnah in the third parak of Shavuos tells us, you don't get malchus for a lav shein bo maisa. Good. Now when Rav Yochanan says, you don't get malchus for a lav shein bo maisa, and Rav Yochanan follows the Stam Mishnah, so we're going to say it's a Stam Mishnah in the third parak of Shavuos. Okay. Some of you asked me yesterday. The Gemara asked the question right now. So, really, the Mishnayos are confusing. because I have a mission, the first mission in Shavuos, which implies you do get Malkus for a Lav Shem B'Maisa. The mission in the third parak says you don't get Malkus for a Lav Shem B'Maisa. Michti. So the Gemara says, Hai Stama V'Hai Stama. They're both Stam Mishnayos. Mai Chazi D'Avid Ki Hai Stama, Le'Avid Ki Hai Stama. So when Rav Yochanan now is there, left to decide, I always follow the halacha of the Stam Mishnah, how do you know which one to choose? How do you know should have been the one in the third parak, not the one in the first parak? Ulatamech, Rabbi Gufi Hechi Sasamlan Hacha Hachi V'Hacha Hachi. And the Gemara says, and let's even ask a more fundamental question. Why would Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi do that? Why would he throw out there a Stam Mishnah that says that you do get Malkus for Lav Shem B'Maisa, and then record another Mishnah that goes the other way around? Okay. Interesting. Wait, just let me just finish the flow, and then we'll pause for a pause. Elam Ikara Sever Lav Shem B'Maisa Lokan Alav. Okay. Look. Rebbe had a change in position. Rebbe originally thought that you're going to get Malkus for a Lav Shem B'Maisa. Okay? V'sasma. And so what he did now is he recorded a Mishnah that went with his first position. V'hadasav ain't lokin alav v'sasma. And then he changed his view. Okay? So the first point of interest is the fact that Rebbe, he changed. He took one position, and then later on he changed and he adopted another position. And then, u'mishnah lozaza mimkoma. But that first Mishnah reminds us, well, no, let's not say it that way. The first Mishnah is there because it really reflects his first position, and even though he had a change of heart, but still, that first Mishnah is left there because he had that was at one point in time in the thought process of Rebbe, his thinking that you do get Malkus for Lav Shem B'Maisa. Now, it's an interesting Rashi. We're going to go through the Rashi together. We're not going to move the Mishnah. We're going to leave the Mishnah alone, even though it doesn't really reflect Rebbe's final position. Right. That's so. Let's see the Rashi. That's why I see the Rashi. Umishna Rishona Alpha Pisha Chazar Bo Mistima Sa Me'acher Shepashta Berov HaTalmidim. Rashi writes, yeah, most of the students got it, meaning it became part of their lexicon of Torah Shabbat Peh. Lohaya Kula Lohaya Yecholas B'Doro Sha'acha Rebbe L'Shachacha Mipehem. They couldn't forget it. Meaning it was ingrained into them. Rebbe ingrained it into them. Ulavatlami Besa Medrash, Vihinichu Eshtehem. And so what they did is they left both of them. Vahamaskil Yavin. And now, the one who is smart, meaning us, okay, why not? Vahamaskil Yavin, Shachrona Ikar, Shechazer Bomina Rishona. And then the way it was laid out chronologically, meaning a mission in the first parak and the mission in the third parak. So it's kind of like the Mishnayos are winking at us and telling us the third parak is really the final thought process of Rebbe. The first parak is just kind of an initial phase of Rebbe. It sounds like from Rashi, if you read Rashi carefully, it sounds like from Rashi that Rebbe was not the one who recorded the Mishnayos. It sounds that way because he ingrained it. I'm just going to review. He ingrained it into his students. Lohaya yecholos b'dorosh acha Rebbe l'shachacha. The later generations had a hard time forgetting it because Rebbe really drilled it into them. Mipiyim ulevala mibeis hamedrash. Vihinichu et shteim, and they left both. I don't know. It's hard. It's from this Rashi. I'm not sure. It's not clear. Right? Who was the one who actually recorded the Mishnayos? Rebbe certainly taught the Mishnayos. There's no question about that, right? And but to put them together and it sounds like from the Rashi that occurred at some later generation. Okay, I'm not sure. Right? Usually we assume that Rebbe was the one who authored and laid out the Mishnayos as well. Okay. Well, if he does it, no. If he does it, b'mezid, so there's never any kind type of carbon talk. And if he does it, b'shogig, so it depends what kind of lav it is. If it's a chayv krisus, then yes. If it's olavi yored, like what we're talking about, yes. Otherwise, no. Right? There's no for a stop for a regular malchus. You know, there's no carbon. Okay. Fine. B'mayu kimtin. We're still gonna. It's the topic today is gonna be the same topic for the rest of today, and that is authorship of our Mishnah. So b'mayu kimtin k'rabbi Yishmael ula malchus. Okay. You're telling me now, as you have been now for the past 2 days, that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yishmael. I, Rabbi Yishmael, only has two categories of shvuos: asid, not avar. Yeah, in the world of karban, but in the world of malchus, it's future and it's past. The Gemara says, "Wait a second. That means that all of our Mishnah is talking about malchus. There's malchus by nega, by tzaras." Marus Nagai and my Malkus Ika. What Malkus is there by Tsaras? Right? There's no Malkus by Tsaras. When you get Tsaras, you don't get Malkus. You don't get lashes. Right? You have to go through the Tahara process. If you have Tsaras and you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be Chayv Kares. But there's no Malkus. So the code states Beharto. That's the Gemara says, no, that's not true. If there is Malkus. If you have tzaras and you cut it off, you're going to get malchus. Rabbi Avin Amar Avilai Damar Rabbi Avin Amar Avilai Kol Makom Shenamar Hishamer Pen Va'al. Whenever you have the word either Hishamer or Pen or Al, Eino Ella Lo Saaseh. That's a love. All right, so there is a love by tzaras. If you have tzaras, you have a spot of tzaras on your body, and you decide I don't want that tzaras, and you cut it off. That you violated the prohibition of Hishamer Benegat Tzaras. Fine. Well, let's continue.
You see a warning, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
For any of these,
there has to be a warning. You see a Shabbos, my Malkus Ika. The Gemara says, okay, what about you see a Shabbos? There's no Malkus by Hotzah and Shabbos. That's a capital crime. We've been told again and again that for capital crimes there's no malchus. So Shabbos is a capital crime. Lav sheni tan lazaras misas basin. V'chol lav sheni tan lazaras misas basin ein lokin alav. So the Gemara, right? Gemara is asking a very good question. There's no malchus by Shabbos. So how can you tell me our Mishnah, the first Mishnah Shavuos, is all about malchus? Okay? So the Gemara says, Misham hachi, kamok mina karev Yishmael. Ah, but remember, it actually does work out. Because our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yishmael, as we've been now forecasting for the past 2 days. So, and Rabbi Yishmael happens to be of the opinion, it's not accepted la halacha, but he's of the opinion, Dama lav shini ten lazaras mitzvah is based on lokan alav. He maintains that you do get malchus for a capital crime. Okay? So, period. All right, so up until this point in time now, we have been assigning our Mishnah like Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, fine. Pause, breathe. Halav hachi kaima k'Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Now, you were entertaining for a little bit of time that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. Now, the problem with Rabbi Akiva is a technical one. Rabbi Akiva in the world of Tumah only holds that there are two cases of Tumah, not four cases of Tumah, right? But you did suggest that our Mishnah is going to go like Rabbi Akiva. So, halav hachi kamek Rabbi Akiva. Kashi yedios. So by yedios, the whole idea of yedios is I knew I was Tameh, I lapsed into unawareness, and then I learned again. Right, and that was, and Rabbi Akiva says there's only two of those cases, not four of those cases. So lava my Rabbi Yishmael hi ulamalkus, Rabbi Akiva nami ulamalkus. So the Gemara says, you know, we had a problem with Rabbi Yishmael, and what we did is we just simply shifted. We said our Mishnah is not talking about carbon; our Mishnah is talking about malkus. You can't do the same thing for Rabbi Akiva, meaning according to Rabbi Akiva, our Mishnah is not talking about carbon. Our Mishnah is talking about malchus.
How could be a left if there's warning that you didn't malchus? How could be a left?
In other words, according to Rabbi Kiva, you were warned, right? Don't.
How could you have a lapse if you
didn't warn? Oh, okay. Perfect. Perfect. No. That's it. Okay. Good. That's the right question to ask, huh?
That means the Mishnah is really like both.
As much as we're saying the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yishmael, because all we're going to do is we're shifting the Mishnah from Shogeg to Mazid, So let's do the same thing for Rabbi Akiva. Let's shift the Mishnah and let's say that the Mishnah is talking about Mezid and not Shogeg. Ben asked the right question, and basically the Gemara now is going to go and ask this question. We could have asked this question that we're about to ask right now. We could have asked a while ago, but in the very beginning of our discussion, that our Mishnah is shifting from Shogeg to Mezid, but now at this point in time, it's come to a head. Because as much as we try to make out our Mishnah like Rabbi Shmuel, and we pretty much worked it all out, but still there are such fundamental questions on this approach. Ihachi, Yediyah Sasraos Mi Ba'alei. So the Gemara says, Yediyah, awareness, unawareness, that's Shogeg talk. That's not Mezid talk. So whenever we say the word Yediyah, it means you knew, and you lapsed into a lack of awareness. That's Shogeg. So what are you telling me, Malchus? So the Gemara at first makes this one last attempt to defend. Maybe ihach yedios hasras mi ba'alei halokashia tni yedios dehasras. All right, so maybe yedia over here means hasra. Okay, maybe that's what yedia means. It was a warning. So ihachi.
Warned and then he forgot.
No. Stop. You're right.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we're gonna say that the Mishnah is not shiftable. You can't do that to the Mishnah. But right now, just for a little bit of time, the Gemara is entertaining that what our Mishnah, when it says the word Yediya, it means you were warned. Yediya does not mean he knew and he lapsed. Yediya means you were told, don't go in there. Okay. Here we go. The Gemara is going to give three punctuated questions. Question number one. Ihachi shtayim shein arba tarti hu davyan. Question number one. Right? Each question by itself is a slam dunk. And there are three in a row. Question number one. There are not four. If we're talking about Mezid, right? There are not four cases. There are two cases. Meaning, by Shogeg, let's talk about Yediyah Satumah. By Shogeg, there are four cases. Either I knew I was Tamei, I forgot that's the base of Mikdash. I knew I was Tamei, I forgot that was Basar Kodesh. Or, I knew I was Tamei, I forgot I was Tamei and I walked into the base of Mikdash. Or, I forgot I was Tamei and I ate Basar Kodesh. So you can have four permutations of that case. If we're talking about Shogeg. If we're talking about Mezid, there's only two cases. Going into the base of Mikdash and eating Basar Kodesh. That's it. Period. There's not four cases, only two. Don't go into the Beis HaMikdash. Your Tamei, don't go into the Beis HaMikdash. We're not talking about any unawareness. We're not talking about a lapse. That's case number one. Case number two, don't eat the Basar Kodesh because you're Tamei. That's it. So it's not two, which is four. Question number one. Question number two, Vesu. Es sheyesh ba yediyas b'tchila v'yediyah b'sof v'halam bein tayem. The Mishnah says straight out, halama. Halama means unawareness. That's Shogeg talk. That's not Mezik talk. So, halama la malchus, maya vidate. There's no the words halama and malchus do not go together. They never go hand in hand. That's question number two. I told you, each question by itself just totally upends this approach that we've been trying for the past day and a half. Visu, and finally, harezeh ba'ola v'yared, the Mishnah uses the words ola v'yared. Yeah, that's Shogeg talk. There's no carbon for Mezid. Okay. All right. It makes you wonder, it really makes you wonder why the Gemara spends so much time trying this approach and taking our Mishnah and shifting it from Shogeg to Mezid when you realize, you think about these three questions of the Gemara, and there's just no way, that really can entertain that our Mishnah is talking about anything other than Shogeg. Okay? El Amar Rav Yosef, fine. Okay? Rebbe Hi, V'nasiv La Aliba Tanai. So, our Mishnah is really, again, the fundamental problem with our Mishnah is that Rabbi Yishmael holds that there are only two cases of Shavua. Rabbi Akiva holds there are only two cases of Yediyah Satumah. Alright, so Rabbi Yosef says, Rebbe Hi. Our Mishnah is not Rabbi Kiva. Our Mishnah is not Rabbi Yishmael. Our Mishnah is Rebbe. V'nasiv la aliba to tanai b'idiyas, v'nasiv la to Rabbi Yishmael, b'shavuos nasiv la to Rabbi Kiva. And it happens to be that Rebbe just picks and chooses. So when it comes to Yediyah Satumah, he chooses like like Rabbi Shmuel. When it comes to Shavuos, he chooses like Rabbi Akiva. Fine. Amar Rav Ashi, the Gemara now is going to basically say the same thing, but a little bit stronger. Amar Rav Ashi, Amitzel Shmaita Kamei de Rav Kahana, V'amili lo tema Rabbi Nasiv la Aliba Tantanai, V'le lo Svirale. Rav Kahana says, no, don't say it like that. Don't say he just picks and chooses. Say it better. Eli, Ella, Rebbe Taime de Nafshe Mefarish. This is really Rebbe's own opinion. Meaning that Rebbe's own opinion varies. When it comes to Shavuot, he goes like Rabbi Akiva. When it comes to Yediyas Tumah, he goes like Rabbi Shmuel. But it's not just he's picking and choosing. This is his position itself. Okay. And Tanya. And from here until the end of today's daf, we're now going to see inside that this is really a reflection of Rebbe's opinion himself, both on the issue of Shvua, that there are four cases, and on the position of Yediyas HaTumah, that there are four cases as well. D'tanya. Now, listen, we're going to start off with Yediyas HaTumah. That's the easy one, because he says it straight out. We learned in the following braisa. Minayin she'eino chayav ela al she'yesh ba yediyah b'tchil v'yediyah b'sof v'hela meintayim. How do I know that in order to be chayav a carbon ola v'yareid, I have to have knowledge in the front, knowledge on the front end, knowledge on the back end, and a lapse of unawareness, meaning that the lapse has to be bracketed by I knew it was prohibited, and I knew it was prohibited, or I knew I was tamei fall then, but I knew I was tamei, and the lapse has to be in the middle. Tamalomar v'nelam v'nelam shnei pa'amim divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says it says the word v'nelam twice. So that tells us that there was. It's the halama, the lamps, was sandwiched between two yediyas. Rebbe Omer, here we go, here's Rebbe. Rebbe Omer eino tzarech. Harehu Omer v'nelam. What do you mean? V'nelam tells you, that word by itself, it tells you, you knew and you forgot. That's the whole definition of v'nelam. V'nelam means at one point you knew, and then you lapsed and you went into an unawareness that either you were tamei or this was the base of Mikdash. Mechlal diyada v'hu yada? I'm sorry, mechlal diyada. That implies you already know. Then the Torah says v'hu yada, hare kan shte yedios. And then the Torah says, and then he learned about it? So v'nela means he knew already. V'hu yada is at the other end, telling us that he remembered again, that he was tamei. Okay. Imke matam alam v'nela v'nelam. Why does the Torah repeat itself v'nelam v'nelam twice? L'chayev al halam tuma v'al halam mikdash. Because halama can come in one of two forms. It can either come in the form that you forgot you were tamei and I ate basar kodesh or I went into the Beis Hamikdash, or I knew I was tamei and I forgot this was the Beis Hamikdash or I forgot that this was basar kodesh. So you see Rebbe clearly states, opines, that when it comes to Yediyas HaTumah, there are four cases. Good. That's easy. Ashkechan b'Yediyas HaTumah, I'm sorry, Ashkechan b'Yediyas HaTumah, Yislei Taimah D'Nafshei. Shvuah, the Leislei Taimah D'Nafshei, Mi Nalan. Now, where does Rebbe in Shvuah say that there are four cases? The Torah says, Lahara Ulaitiv. We know that that means for the future. Lahara Ulaitiv is for the future. How do I know that if I make a Shvuah about something that happened in the past, I'm also going to be chayav a karbon? How do we know that Rebbe says that? Svarihi, the Gemara says it's logic. Not svar like kavachomer logic, but in other words, we'll piece a couple things together. Skip the parentheses. Rebbe Akiva, my time kamechayav l'sha'avar, didarish ribu imiyute. How do I know that Rebbe Akiva darshins two shvuos for the future and two for the past, because he darshens ribui umiyut, Rebbe Nami darshe ribui umiyute. Rebbe also darshens the same way as well. Okay. Good. Gave ourselves a good amount of time. For the rest of today, we're going to go over a classic discussion in the Gemara. Gemara has it a lot of times. This particular Rashi on shvuos on Daf Dalet is fantastic. It's a great Rashi. He really does. He always does a phenomenal job. Here he does an exceptional job explaining Ribui Miyut versus Klalu Prat. Okay. Every morning right before Pesukah de Zimra, we say Rabbi Shmuel Amar, Yud Gimel Dvar Matar Nidreshes. There are 13 ways to darshan the Torah. Right? This is, by the way, an introduction to Taurus Kohanim. You open up Taurus Kohanim, and Taurus Kohanim is a Medrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra, and you're going to see that it opens up with Rabbi Shmuel Omer, but Yud Gimel Midos, I don't even remember it. Okay, whatever. You understand. It is the introduction to Sefer Vayikra, to Taurus Kohanim. Is it agreed to by everybody? No. If you look at that opening passage to Taurus Kohanim, you'll see that not everyone agrees to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is only but one opinion. Not only there's disagreement in terms of how many midos, right? How many ways to darshan the Torah? There's also disagreement into actually the method, meaning Rabbi Shmuel says klal uprat uklal, right? One of the ways to darshan the Torah is by generality, specific generality, right? That's Rabbi Shmuel. What we're going to learn for the rest of today's daf is that not everyone agrees. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, two very big heavyweights, right, disagree in terms of how to darshan the Torah. When you have a generality followed by a specific, followed by a generality, so Rabbi Shmuel says, klalu pratu klal. I'll explain how that works in just a moment. Rabbi and Rabbi Akiva both say no. Different process. It's called ribui umiyut. Okay? And based on how you darshan, you're going to walk away with different conclusions.
When Rabbi Akiva says ribui umiyut, does he mean that he never applies the other 13? He only
No. I don't know how he feels about the other 13. I don't know. I understand. In that one particular method, he disagrees. I don't go klal pratu klal.
In this case?
In every case where there's a chance, to darshan klal pratu klal, so Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi say no. You're right. Structurally, it's general, specific, general. But I don't darshan it your way. I darshan it a different way.
So Rabbi, you can never use a klal by klal.
That's what would come out from this gemara here. Correct.
What's that mom position?
Wait, just one second. One second. First, too early to ask that question, and I don't know the answer, but it's too early to ask that question, even though I don't know the answer. Okay, so what we will do now is we're going to explain, and here Rashi is just exceptional, we're going to explain what it means to darshan klal pratu klal versus how to darshan ribui umiyut or ribui. Okay. So we know our players and we know their positions, but how does it work? What's the fundamental difference between how to darshan and what's the nafkamina? What are the practical differences that come out based on how we darshan? Okay. So can I do it now? Rabbi Akiva. Yeah, I can do it now. Tanya. Okay, so we're going to stop with the Gemara and we're going to go right into Rashi. Rashi does all the work for us. Just a question of reading it. Okay, it's the Rashi is somewhat lengthy, but we have time, and it's so worthwhile. Darsh ribu amiut midrasha deribu amiut nafkale beperigimol shelo hayadorish esator bemashmos klalos upratos ela bemashmos ribuin umiutan. Okay, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi don't darshan the Torah through klal prato klal, but rather ribu amiut. And but when it comes to Shavuos, here's how it works. Meaning, what Rashi is going to do is basically hold our hand and take us through how to darshan the parsha by Shavuah. Now you don't have the pasuk here inside on the daf. Okay, I'll read the pasuk for you. Perek Hay, pasuk Dalad of Sefer Vayikra. Ola nefesh kisi shava. A person makes a shvuah, levate bisfasayim, right? He makes an utterance with his lips, lehara o lehitiv, either for bad or for good. Lechol asher yivateha adam bishvuah, anything that he utters with his mouth through a shvuah, venela mimenu, when he forgets, vehu yada, and then he realizes, ve'ashem, and he's guilty, la'achas me'ela, with any one of these. And then the Torah goes on to describe that he has to bring a carbon. Okay? We start off, we're going to break up this pasuk into three parts. The first part is the generality. O nefesh kisi shava levate bisfasayim. That's a general statement. You make a shvuah. Then the Torah gives an example. Lahara ulehitiv, either for bad or for good. And as we discussed already from day one, lahara ulehitiv means for the future, right? For a future event. And then, that's the second part of the pasuk. Then the third part, lechol asher yivateha adam b'shvua, v'ne'la mimenu. For anything that he utters with his mouth. That's another generality. So you see that the Torah gives us, this is textbook, right? Klal, uprat, uklal. I shouldn't use those words. Because, no, I'm serious, because that's Rabbi Shmuel. General, specific, general. Textbook case of klal, uprat, uklal. Of general, specific, general. So watch. So Rashi says, umiyutam v'gabishvot hachi darish. Nefesh ki si shava, break, pause, riba kol shvuos. That comes to include every type of shvuah. Lahara ulehitiv miyet is a ribui. That minimizes. V'lim eshenu chayv ela al hadome lemiyut. But however, it is a minimum. It minimizes, but it means that that's going to be an example. That's an example, and anything similar to that. She'ela haba kamosa velo de darish le b'mashmos klal uprat. The name alahara leitiv perusho shel klal. It's not klal uprat. Prat is a definition, right? If I would go klal uprat, prat defines what the klal is. But we're not going klal uprat. We're going ribui miut. When you go ribui miut, the example given in the middle is not a definition; it's an example, right? The who ain lechalav. I'm sorry. Who the ain lechalavi bo elahu levado harava tava velo shar dvarim veafilu habash eno harava tava shekol adorish haTorah klal uprat islay ain bechal elamashiv uprat. Look, when you go klal uprat, you're saying the prat defines the klal. And there's nothing else. There's no other example. V'chihadra asli klal achrina basar prata ki hacha dechsiv basre lechol asher yivatei day lecha intosif ala prat bechlal achron dvarim she'ein behem hara'a v'hatava. And then, if you go klalu prat, what are you saying? You're saying prat is a definer. It defines. And then what about the klal that comes afterwards? It expands, but only the that which is defined in the middle. Okay. In Tosif al Afra
b'chlal achrin.
Huh?
What would be the example here?
The example over here, Rashi says that it doesn't have to be hara v'atava. It doesn't have to be bad or good. Meaning it's still for the future, but it does not have to be something bad or good. The yuke'ena prabba lahaba. But it still has to be for the future. Meaning that because you defined, when you were klal uprat, and pral defines, so you're locked into the fact that it's for the future. Okay, and that's Rabbi Yishmael. That's why Rabbi Yishmael doesn't feel there's a carbon for the past. Because he works klal uprat. And that prat defined it. Once you defined, you're locked. And the expansion that comes afterwards only expands it by saying doesn't have to be bad or good.
How do you know what the
prat
defines and what the
prat
doesn't define? Like, what's the added on? Maybe it added on. It didn't have to be only for the pay. How do you know?
Okay, I understand, but
no, it's the adding.
So right. Correct.
Which thing is
correct?
Which
all right, that's our Rashi over here really, really spells it out for us in this particular example. You're right. In other words, when all said and done, there's a certain amount of Torah Shebaal Peh that we need here just to help us understand what's being defined and what's not. But just conceptually, I do understand a lot better.
What other things could be there? Good and bad mistaken too.
Because when the Torah says good and bad, I might have thought that the Shvuah only applies if it's good or bad. Well, what if it's neutral? What if it's not good? What if it's not bad? It's just neutral. It's barf. The second klal allows us to expand, but only what we've defined. You're still limited to the example. Aval. Okay, that's all klal uprat uklal. Okay? Which means the key over here is that when you go klal and prat, prat is the definition. Right. Aval hadarish beribu umiyut, but if you darshan ribu umiyut, ein prat perusho shel klal. That middle example is not a definition. Ela mimato bemitzas klomar loza kol riba beribui harishon ela zeh. Right? When I say ribu umiyut, what that example is just that. It's an example. It's not a definition. I'm not locked into saying it's that, but it's things like that. The chayot sebo. Anything similar to that?
From a definition, there are things like that also.
What's that?
Definition is also things like that also, no?
But
for the future, though.
But it's definition.
Definition is like, it's like...
No,
finding it and then it has to be.
I know we're having a semantic discussion now, but definition means this is it. This is what it
else.
Is and nothing else.
Nothing else similar to it.
Right. Vechayot seba below ribu basra. Mishtamale ze vechayot seba hilkach ki asa ribu achrina basrei lerabos ba. Ve'afilu shelo ke'ein haprat. And now, in the world of ribu miut, by the miut, miut's not a definer. Miut is just simply saying, here's an example. And so, but already by ribu imiyut, it's as if the Torah is telling you this and things like it. So now I have another ribu coming at the back end. So that really widens it. So Basra l'rabos ba afilu shaloke in aprat, and we're going to say things that even are not totally similar to the example. And so therefore, the only thing we're excluding are those things which are really just so dissimilar to the example that's given. Rabbi Akiva Achidash by Paragemo Lahai Kisi Shava, the Eno Mamait Minamiot Ela Nishva Levatel Es HaMitzvah. And according to Rabbi Akiva, once you work with Ribu Umiyut, what are we excluding? We're excluding Levatel Es HaMitzvah. We'll talk about that later on. What Rabbi Akiva excludes based on the fact that he goes Ribu Umiyut. And here Rashi says it, he says it very succinctly and very well. Prat hu lashon perush. If you were klalu prat, prat means perush, meaning I'm defining. Leficha klalu prat in b'klal amasha b'prat. Miut ain't no perush. But miut does not mean I'm defining. Ela mimait es mashmaus haklal b'mitzas. It just simply means I'm refining. I'm giving an example. Umishayus kol hadoma lemiut, but it's just an example. There could be other things. Anything similar to the example given also is included.
Miut is like a clarifying, whereas prat is specifying.
Right. That's very well said. Okay, good. All right. Now that we're here, so good. So now we know that Rabbi Akiva always darshins ribu imiut. Rabbi always darshins ribu imiut. It led us to the conclusion that according to Rabbi Akiva, it would include Shavuos for the future and for the past. So it must be the same thing with Rabbi. That's what the Gemara is saying, and that's how we know that Rabbi in the world of Shavuos, that's the Svara. That's how we know that Rabbi in the world of Shavuos holds that it includes the future and the past as well. Okay? Ditanya. Now,
say one question.
Yeah.
When you say klal uprat klal, right? Doesn't the second cloud go on to say things that are similar to that prat?
Correct, but it still has to be similar. Meaning, is Rashi
point? Why is that different from mute is also
because cloud. In other words, when you start off with cloud of prat, right? I know there's another cloud coming up, but stop right there. Once you have prat, you're now specified.
Okay.
Only this. Now, when you get to the second cloud, think similar to this.
Okay. So how is that different from mute?
Because ribu umiut, miut is not specifying.
No, but it gives an example, and then ribu says examples like this.
More examples like this.
How is that different from klal?
Because ribu is already much more expansive. Because by miut, I didn't define. I just simply said this is an example. And the second ribu is coming and further expanding it, so the result is that you're now including a lot more things.
So much more expansive than klal.
Correct. Okay, Ditanya, where do we find in Shas that Rebbe holds Ribu Umiyut versus klal uprat uklal. So it's not by shvu, because if it was, the Gemara would say it, and our day would be over. but Rebbe never says it by Shvua, but Rebbe says it elsewhere. Detanya, Rebbe, Omer Bechor Podim, Bechor Adam. Okay, you want to do Pijan Aben. Okay, you want to redeem your firstborn son. So what do you use? So Rebbe says anything. Anything. You could use anything. Chutz min ashtaros. The only thing you can't use, according to Rebbe, is only an IOU. Right? You can't use a note. Right? You go to a Cohen, you say, here Dan, I'll give you an IOU. Okay? Come back to me another time, and we're good. V'rabanan, amrei b'chol podin b'chor adam, chutz min avadim ashtaros v'karkos. Now the Chachamim say no. They're excluding a lot more. They're excluding Evet, Shtar, and Karka. I cannot redeem him paying, right? I can't use one of my slaves to pay. I can't use Karka. I can't use Shtar. Okay, what is this machlokus? This machlokus is predicated on how to darshan the psukim. My time of the Rebbe, Darish Ribu Miut, Uftu Yavmi Ben Chodesh Ribu, Be'erka Chakesef Chamesha Shkala Miut, Tifte Chaza Veriba. Okay, so you have, according to Rebbe, Reba, Miot, or Reba. Reba, Umiot, Veriba. Reba, HaKol. It's more inclusive. My Reba, Komile. So when we start off with the first Reboi, right, Uf, Du, Yav, you can redeem them, meaning with anything, anything of value. Right, Komile. My Miot, now when we have the example, the Torah gives is Erkacha Kesef Chamesha Shkalim Miyeh Shtaros. It excludes Shtar. If I'm going to exclude anything, meaning, remember, by Ribu Miyut, right, the example given is not a definer. It's not doesn't define. It just simply says things which are like money. So, if I were to make a top one list, right? I'd say top 10, but really just if there's anything out there that is not like money, I would say shtar. Shtar does not have an intrinsic value. Property has intrinsic value. Avadim have intrinsic value. Shtar has no intrinsic value. It's just an IOU. The Rabbanan Darshay, that's Rebbe. And that's why he'll tell you that you can, if you want to give a coin a little piece of your property, that's fine. V'rabbanan darshe klal uprat prate, and the chachamim darshan through klal uprat. Uvdu yami ben chodesh klal. Berka chakesah chamesh shkalim prat. Tifte chazor klal. Klal uprat uklal. Iatadan ela kein haprat. Ma haprat mefurish davra hamital tel v'gufo mamon. Av kol davra hamital tel v'gufo mamon. Good. When you work with klal uprat uklal, your prat was defining. Right? What do I redeem? Torah says money. Now, if the Torah would stop right over there, there's only one thing you could redeem with, and that's money. But then the Torah gives us another klal afterwards. And the Torah says, okay, things which are similar to money, right? You understand? It works, klal uprat uklal works almost the exact opposite as ribu umiyut. Klal uprat uklal means by the point of prat, we're stuck with one thing, and klal allows us to include things which are like the prat. But that's it. It has to be similar to the prat.
Final Reba here. Going back a step. Didn't
say
the Gemara. What's the if you do Reba,
Tift.
What's the final
word? Tifta. The word tifta.
I know the word, but what's it include?
According to Rebbe, it includes everything but a star. Everything. Anything that has value. Even karka, even avadim, anything with value, anything other than a shtar. Oh no, that's not Rebbe. Rebbe says anything with value, and then along comes who argues the chachamim, right? Ma pramu first davar metaltav gufa mamon. I've called davar metaltav gufa mamon. Well, money has intrinsic value and it's movable. So yatsu karka shere metaltalin. So land is not movable. Yatsu avadim shukshu lakarkas. Now avadim are movables, but they're always linked with karka. Time and again, we find that yatsu shtar safa pisha metaltalin ain gufa mamon. Shtar does not have intrinsic value. Fine. So what we are now at the point at is that we now find that Rebbe is really the author of our Mishnah, not that he's picking and choosing, but that he himself holds that there are four cases of Shvua and there are four cases of Yediyah Satumah. How do we know that there are four cases of Yediyah Satumah? He says it. It's a Braisa that starts on the bottom of Dal Amud Aleph and ends on the top of Dal Amud Beis. How do we know that he holds there are four cases of Shvua, both two for the future and two for the past? That's based at Svara. Rebbe never says it straight out, but it's based on the fact that Rebbe darshans through the methodology of Ribui Umiyut, not Klal Uprat. We know that when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, that he darshans through Ribui Umiyut. And so since he darshans through Ribui Umiyut, and we know Rebbe Akiva darshans through Ribui Umiyut, and in the third parak Rebbe Akiva says straight out that because I darshan with Ribui Umiyut, there are two shvuos for the future and two shvuos for the past, so we're going to assume now Rebbe also agrees because he uses the same methodology of Ribui Umiyut.
Good. In this case, I'm confused. In this case, the only difference between Yom Ha'avodah is Avodim
and Karka.
But in this case, you say Rebbe goes by Ribui Umiyut and Rabbanan go by Klal Uprat, right? And the facts, right?
Correct.
So, but in this case, the guy, the one that is more inclusive is the Rabbanan. It's not Rebbe.
No. The one who is more inclusive is Rebbe.
Rebbe.
Correct. 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 Okay. Stopping point for today. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Right from this point. Rebbe Hanani Menakasha Masakash Baruch Hu Zakei Sofi Chachir and Torah Mitzvah Shenemar and Nai Chafetz Amantikoy Yagdok Rabbi Adir.